Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Not a good show for Kevin.
No, I'm fine with it.
Kevin has just told the entire audience that, A, it's easy to hit a baseball. You should be able to control hitting it anywhere you want. That under the Kevin Hurst system, batting 700 should be achievable. And
I don't remember.
It's a really easy game.
All I know is that there are 20 million reasons for Ryan Howard to hit better than he is right now. And maybe not to hit as much. He doesn't have to drive the ball like he used to. I get it. I know he was hurt. I know he's coming back from the injury. I'm just saying, hit the ball where they ain't at times.
You didn't know that until I pointed it out. That was kind of a
bad
segment for you.
I'd like to broaden the discussion just slightly.
Actually, I'm going to broaden the discussion to the athletic director search.
Okay, at Penn
State. We're going to bring in Mike Poorman from statecollege.com. Mike wrote an article about the athletic director search. And, Mike, first of all, welcome to the show. You looked into the other athletic directors in the conference. There had to be some common threads and denominators in this whole thing.
Well, that's a good question. Most of them, more than I thought, were career college administrators. More than not, had advanced degrees. There are a number of lawyers, which I think we've seen that as an ongoing trend. And I think there's a line of demarcation. Half have been serving less than 6 years, and the other half 7 years or longer. So there's really a two-layer guard of people who are considered new and those who have been in the business for quite a long time. And I heard you guys yesterday, and Dave Brandon at Michigan, the Domino Pizza czar, certainly represents to a certain degree part of the new wave of ADs as far as having a business private industry background.
Yet there are a lot of twists and turns. I know we'll get John Bacon back on the show here pretty soon to talk about all this, but there have been a lot of twists and turns there, and he has not endeared himself to the student base at Michigan because they're still 6,000 student, still 6,000 season tickets shy in the student section of selling, and they're not happy with him.
No, that's a good point, and you know, I both know John, and John's not really a fan of the current administration athletically there. So, you know, to a certain degree, you don't want to go too far afield from your from what your core product is, and the core product is alumni, students, college athletics, and while it may be very cool, they're bringing in, I think, Real and Manchester U to play a soccer game. At the Big House in August, it would be my opinion that it would behoove them to try to sell those extra 6,000 seats and reconnect with their students to come to the games as opposed to, you know, going into a new line of business.
Right. Fundraising is also a component in this. Do the athletic directors within the Big Ten have fundraising backgrounds before they took the job?
Yeah, not as many as you would think. There's one or two that have had their roots originally before sports even as far as development and raising funds. I think it's been part and parcel of their growth. 9 of the 13 came from really the traditional career path from going to university, being an assistant and an associate AD. What's interesting, though, and part and parcel of fundraising is very obviously, as you know, very sophisticated these days. It's not the old coach going out and glad handing, and it's not even, you know, the AD sticking with the singular school raising funds for his alma mater. Only four of the 13 current ADs, not counting Dr. Joyner, came back to their alma mater to be AD. So it's a different type of more sophisticated fundraising that really they pick up that skill as they go along.
Were you able to get into contracts at all? I'll give you an example of that. Gene Smith, who, by the way, has done an excellent job at Ohio State, all right? It was revealed that when Logan Stieber won the championship at 141 pounds in college wrestling, that Gene Smith got a $17,000 bonus for this. Now, again, all credit to him and to his agent for getting this. But are those kind of performance bonuses standard for athletic directors?
Good question. A couple weeks, maybe a month or two ago, there was a piece on that, and he was the only AD within the conference that had a performance bonus tied to a singular performance, and I think because of that high profile case, what's happening across the whole industry is they're not only removing themselves from an individual sport, but as far as national championships across all the board, they're staying with academic performance, and also I see the Learfield Cup standings is also still a hallmark in which athletic directors nationally and obviously some in the Big Ten are still judged and receive additional bonuses for that.
All right. Learfield Cup, Director's Cup has been obviously important in terms of overall performance. Football, men's basketball, though, are the ones that are going to drive the economic engine. Have you looked at the patterns of hiring by athletic directors in the Big Ten, the new breed, and what they have done in terms of sticking with or bringing in someone else?
A lot of them bring in someone new, as you know. When you look at Minnesota, Teague came in and immediately he made within a year a big splash hire of Patino. In Illinois, when he came in,
yeah,
he made new hires in men's basketball and I believe women's basketball, but also football. So they like to make that change if they can sooner rather than later. And part of the reason someone new comes in because there is a vulnerability in one area or the other,
right,
meaning basketball or football.
Right. The economist background. Let's get in. I talked about the fundraising part of it. What kind of background is it in terms, because you're talking about a Big Ten where Jim Delaney, you can be an easy target when you're in his position. I'm going to tell you in no uncertain terms, this guy has done an unbelievable job in terms of his negotiating skills and how he's been able to get money to schools. The Big Ten could get up to $44.5 million per school based on some reports by 2017. So let's talk about the economics. What kind of backgrounds do these guys have in economics and handling large budgets of those scales?
Well, I'll give you a quick aside. Stan Wilcox, who Barron hired last year to be his AD, actually was an economics major and as an undergrad at Notre Dame. So that speaks directly to your point there. But I think an interesting hire recently in the Big Ten was Fred Glass at Indiana.
Yes.
He came from a law firm in Indianapolis where Jack Swarbrick, where 5 months earlier, Notre Dame had hired him as their AD. And the two of them had done a lot with Indianapolis as a city as far as bringing in the Final Four, amateur sports, across the board with those things. So that's an interesting, sports management on a broader scale, bringing in events, working with the NCAA, but also working in the private sector. So I think those are two hires that are maybe more of what's we're going to see continue to happen in the future as far as, as far as community, state, national-based sports management, sports promotion, but also having that legal aspect.
Mike Poorman, StateCollege.com, wrote an article on this as well as many others on a wide variety of things. Mike, after going through all of this, what do you think the profile of the new Penn State athletic director should include, and did your research change your opinion on what it should include?
You know, that's a great question. And what, back when it looked like Dr. Barron was going to be hired, I took a look at what he did at Florida State. His hire there, Stan Wilcox, who came from Duke, who came from Notre Dame, who was an associate commissioner at the Big East, who worked six years at the NCAA, has a law degree, has that background, was an athlete himself, very good at Notre Dame. He has the perfect background, and you can see now, you can see how and why Barron hired him for Florida State. Some of the situations that Florida State was in, as far as athletically, as far as some off the field things, as far as their capacity for their home games was at 91%. Penn State's is at 90%. Having a tie in, understanding how a league works, a conference works, but also having those solid years with the NCAA. If you take a look at Stan Wilcox's bio, his resume, you can see why he was hired at Florida State, and he would be a terrific fit at Penn State. I'm not sure Barron would bring him here a year after just hiring him at Florida State, but he would be the poster boy for Penn State's new hire.
Interesting. Very interesting. This hire, obviously, will be one. It's also a hire, too, where the Title IX component, in conjunction with the O'Bannon case, in conjunction with the NLRB Northwestern case, does that come into play in terms of the legal background you're talking about?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and a guy like Wilcox, a guy like, you know, Lewis, a guy like, you know, Eichhorst at Nebraska, who was a sports lawyer before he got in the college sports industry. Those things are huge now more than ever. And I think, I was surprised there were only three attorneys out of the 13 in the Big Ten. But more and more, for exactly what you're saying, Steve, you know, it's really amazing. And I think either the Penn State hire should or will have someone who has a background in law or a background having worked with or for the NCAA. Two critical components. If you get both, you know, in a lot of ways, in addition to bringing in that revenue side you're talking about, you know, that's a home run.
I mean, the bottom line is you're going to be the CEO of a $100 million corporation.
Yeah, and you have to know how to sell your product. You still have to know how, you know, the bottom line is educating the students, giving them a great experience, but also navigating all these other components that are really you're walking into. You can't impact them as far as taking them off your plate. You have to react at this point before you can even be proactive in a lot of ways.
Lift for Life, by the way, coming up this weekend. Just a couple of quick thoughts from you on what the weekend means and how much it's helped Penn State's profile through all of this.
Well, as you know, probably better than anyone, these are great kids. You know, Penn State students are great students. These football players, they've raised a lot of money, and I think it gives a chance for people to see them in a different light, more of a personal light, with their helmets off, the pads off, raising money, doing something that's a lot of fun. And it's kind of the, you know, even though we know that they've been working out here all summer, this is kind of the unofficial kickoff of the local college, you know, football season, as far as fans getting to see some things. So it's a big deal.
I know I've talked a lot on this show and will continue to talk a lot on this show about the NLRB case, about the O'Bannon case, and so forth. It was my opinion, and it's only my opinion, that Mark Emmert's testimony, I sat back and I couldn't believe he didn't talk about an unfunded federal mandate in Title IX. You have to pay for it. This is how we do it. He stumbled his way through it. In 10 years, will college sports look the same as they do now?
No, I don't think they will, but I don't think it's going to be as drastic as folks think. I mean, it's an evolution that's happening now, but when you go, you know, the Indiana with their Bill of Rights recently for students, and to me it's no surprise that it came out of Indiana. Fred Glass, again, he's an attorney, he gets it. They're going to more and more try to be ahead of the curve. There's going to be changes, but I don't foresee massive changes, and part of it is because an out-of-state scholarship to Penn State is worth $200,000. There's a lot of value, and a tremendous amount of value, and some equity. And with that comes responsibility, obviously, from the university. But I think it's as far as fair trade goes, it's a pretty good deal still.
And it's, and now with the 24/7 snack and meal thing, it's actually worth more than that. I mean, that's going to cost the athletic, every, not just Penn State, but every athletic department in the country, they're going to have to rebudget because of the meal plan, which was the absolutely the right thing to do. Totally agree with it. That's part of your training, just like the weight room is. But it doesn't, it still doesn't mean it's free.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, when your kids are growing up, you know, mealtime is not 9 to 5. And you're right, but I've seen figures where it's a, you know, it's a seven-figure hit, $1 million-plus hit to an athletic budget. And when you're looking at really thin margins as it is, it has to come from somewhere.
Thin margins? Mike, what do you mean thin margins? No. If you, based on the O'Bannon trial, all and reporting on ESPN, all the money's in a Grand Cayman's account, just waiting to be spent on football and basketball players.
Well, you know, it's funny. If you look at the, it's either 4 or 5 years from when Barron got there, and then I think his two years after, there was a $24 million turnaround.
Yes.
From loss to profit at Florida State. So, right. You know, there is a guy that gets it, and he took over. A quote-unquote business or entity, athletics there, that were, even though they may have been national champions in football, they're still it's still a tough ticket to sell.
Mike, as always, thanks a lot for the time. Great insight. I always appreciate talking with you.
Take care, Steve. Thanks.
Mike Poorman, StateCollege.com, who, by the way, in a side note, also thinks it's very difficult to hit a baseball on the major league level. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today, we are from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Great to have Bob Buhner on board for his insight and also his patience. And Kevin to rant. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Oh, put me in cold.
Hey, now with Grady Sizemore, maybe the Phillies can get A.J. Pierzynski.
Hey, Steve, that interview.
He was just designated for assignment by the Red Sox, too. I think here's another golden opportunity for Kevin.
Can't hurt right now.
You know, that interview was really fascinating. Apparently, I need to dust off my resume and apply for the athletic directorship at Penn State if the trend is toward hiring lawyers. And when I would get to the interview, I've already figured out what I'm going to say. And I think I can get the job. They're going to say, what is your vision for some of the major sports at Penn State? I'm going to say, you know what we need? We got to do something about the wrestling program. Let's go find a guy like Cale Anderson, Cale, and bring Anderson in and bring him as our head coach. And after I get done hiring him, I'm going to find a dynamic, well-regarded guy to come in and coach football. Somebody, let's just say, like that guy at Vanderbilt. And I think I could get the job with that. I really do.
Well, you know, you have to go in there with this idea. You have to go in and you have to tell them, first of all, I'm going to defend to the teeth the culture of what Penn State Athletics happens to be, and I'm going to be very public about it. Number two, I'm going to get that out there in public, and I'm going to build relationships with our season ticket holders. I'm going to sit down. We're going to take a long look at how we do our ticket base at Penn State for all sports across the board, and then I'm going to make sure that it fits within the realm of what the Big Ten gives us in revenue sharing from football and men's basketball, because there's revenue sharing in those two sports, right?
in conjunction with our radio contract with Learfield, in conjunction with what we're going to get from our television contracts as well, and see what kind of balance that we can strike. Because down the road, the most important elements that will make Penn State sports special will be, okay, the coach that we hire that's going to be there for a long period of time, which I think they already obviously have. Number two, the kind of players he's able to recruit that can cite. But, of course, the third part of this equal part deal are the fans.
Yes.
And the fans, I mean, the fans have to be absolutely taken care of in all of this.
And then
they have to understand that the fans are absolute gold. They're what makes performance better. They're what makes Beaver Stadium one of the top 10 venues in the country. They're the ones that bring in the money to allow us to have top-notch sports. The fans are the ones that have to be the top priority, and a relationship has to be built with them.
Yep, and then I'm going to finish with, and I'm going to hire Jack Ham and his broadcast partner to the lifetime contracts.
No.
That'll be a
contract. Well, you're in. You're in.
I got it. I knew I could get it.
You're in. Meanwhile, the Phillies are going to hire Kevin Herr.
Yeah, the bar's not set real high as GM, so I got a shot.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Where Kevin batting coach Herr told us it's a really easy game.
See the ball? Hit the ball.
That's what he does. See, you know what I don't like? I don't like when people do not understand that you cannot fit round pegs into square holes. All right? The best coaches and the best managers take advantage of what their people can do and don't force them to do things they really can't do. That's what coaching happens to be. Figuring out what people can do, all right, and then keeping them away from things they can't do.
You know, Steve, we just talked about that on Monday with Carmi DeFrancesco as he remembered his mentor and friend, Jazz Dimmick of Montcarmel. That was Carm's exact point, as one of the secrets to coaching success was exactly taking what you have and making them fit the hole that's out there.
Now, for the Phillies going forward, Cliff Lee is now slated to get back after the All-Star break, because one of his rehab outings was delayed by rain, okay? There are rival clubs that expect the Phillies to aggressively shop Cliff Lee. His return is, I think, July 19th. That's the new target date, okay? He would have roughly three starts back before the July 31st deadline.
Toronto, right? by the way, was the leading candidate, right, I understand.
Right. That puts him on the table, okay? The Orioles are very interested in A.J. Burnett. Pittsburgh and Cleveland also are interested in A.J. Burnett. Next up, okay, Jonathan Papelbon. Easy to shop him, especially with the emergence of Ken Giles. I mean, he's been really good so far in his first strikeouts. Now, Papelbon's pitching really, really well. And if the Phillies kick in some cash, they'll be able, you know, as part of his salary, they'll be able to make the deal. Expect the Phillies to bring up not just Grady Sizemore, whom Kevin thinks right now is the second coming of... Joe DiMaggio.
I did not say that.
Yeah, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Darren Ruff and Freddie Galvis are expected to be called. Get Michael Franco called up. And you know I've been big on Michael. Guess where he would play? He would play... and that's, you know, because Franco could play third. He can also play first. Well, I mean, that's, you know, and if Freddie Galvis is there, maybe it's time you want to move Jimmy Rollins. But Franco could play third or he can play first. If he plays first, that's less playing time for Ryan Howard and more time to work on his inside-out swing, because when the
game... Ryan Howard is reportedly working on changing his swing, inspired by Marlon Byrd and by Ryan Sandberg. He is adjusting his swing mechanics to actually possibly become a better overall hitter. Now, I understand it's mainly for a little more power.
The problem is he's hitting .226. I mean, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, above all.
.392 slugging.
Now, okay, now, if now is Kevin correct in that, look, he doesn't hit the ball left field, that he can get some easy hits going to left field? Yeah, he could get some easy hits going to left field. But when you're in that part of the order and there are people in front of you that are on base, I want him to drive the ball. I really do, because that's his game. Now, with nobody on base, would I like to see him maybe use more of the field? Yeah.
But my question,
see him use more of the field.
But my question is, if you're Ryan Sandberg then, though, Steve, do you take him out of that position? And if indeed you do take him out of the out of that hitting slot, who do you put in his place?
Well, I'm saying that's why Michael Franco's being recalled. He might just play instead of Ryan Howard.
How much money is Howard getting this year, by the way?
25.
Yeah, that's 20, a lot of bananas to have to get together splinters on the bench.
Actually, is he owed $60 million though? He had $60 million after 2014, I believe.
Right. Look, you know how I feel about contracts.
Right.
I would never give a position player more than 5 years. I prefer 4, but I would give them no more than 5 years. I would never give a pitcher more than 3 years unless it's somebody I consider to be special. I give him a 4th year. There's too much breakdown going on right now. Now, I'd offer, for 3 years, I would offer max money. Okay? Max money over 3 years. All right? And I would offer max money over 5 years, depending on the player. But I wouldn't go beyond that. I just would not do that. The 10-year, $225 million deal that Pujols signed, the Cardinals were so right not to give him that money. So right. You can't wreck your structure over one player. And the Phillies have done this. They've wrecked their structure over one player in some ways with Ryan Howard. I mean, that's where they made the mistake. Howard, if you're talking about today's relative dollars, Howard should be making between $13 and $20 million in relative dollars today. That's where he should be in that neighborhood. If you know, based on a contract that he would have signed back in, what, 8 or 9? Okay, maybe 10 he signed this new contract, where he's coming off all those monster years over and over and over. He's 34 years old now. And that's part of the thing where you sit down, like take Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano signed a 10-year, $240 million contract. He's going to be 41, almost 42 years old by the time his contract's up. So that means you're paying him max money of $24 million a year when he's 37, 38, 39, 40, and 41. Right, way out of his prime years. And that contract makes absolutely no sense to me at all. I mean, none.
By the way, I do have to give credit to Ryan Howard. He has been spending more time in the batting cage from the stories that I've read coming out of Philly this year than he has in past years. So that's at least a step in the right direction, that he he's at least trying to improve the swing a bit. That makes me a little happier.
But by the way, guys,
and it really, in the end, it's
that's
all
what
about
it's all about.
Happiness.
That's right.
I do have an update from Brazil. I know that there might be one or two people listen to
this.
It's been
42nd minute.
Yeah, and it's thrilling. It's exciting. The place is going crazy. Nobody scored yet, but it's just thrilling. As the British would say, nil nil.
Yeah. I mean, there's eight there's
compared
eight
to yesterday.
Fewer goals.
Yes.
8 fewer goals than yesterday.
Yeah, and run all over the field. No, wait a minute. I got that confused with Little League Baseball. I mean, the Dutch are doing nothing, and they're doing it very well. And the Argentinians are just running around the field smiling and kicking the ball to each other. So that is the World Cup today.
They are wearing the same color uniforms that the speed skating crew did over the Winter Olympics.
They're wearing the bright orange.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That is the color. They only have one color in the clothing stores in all of Holland.
Now, I believe that.
So what's going to happen is the Dutch, who are very sneaky, by the way, are going to wait till the 88th minute and sneak one in. That's just a prediction.
Okay, Vatan hour.
Well, that too. It is a fashion statement the Dutch make.
I do think that's their national color now, though.
It is. It's always been orange, actually.
Has it always been
always.
Orange? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I grow fatigued.
Bob and I work to make this an educational program as well as entertaining.
Yes, exactly. We try to give that color.
You're talking
background.
About you're talking about colors.
Yes. Absolutely.
You're talking about colors.
Well, that's if people wanted to, they're looking at their personal device, and they look at it and they can't figure it out. If you want to know, the orange, that would be the Dutch. The Flemings and the Walloons are out there in orange. So, just a pointer for those with the personal devices.
Just terrific.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's great.
It's better than watching paint dry, but not by much.
Okay. It's nothing, 43rd minute of play so far. Now, coming up will be Live for Life. That'll be on Saturday. It'll be a chance for Penn State fans to come out and see the athletes go through their workouts. That'll take place Saturday from 11 to 1. If you want to be there, it's down at the lacrosse field again.
And that is where on the in relationship to the Bryce Jordan Beaver Stadium?
It is next to the indoor track, so it's just below the Bryce Jordan Center and just across the street from Haluba Hall. That's where it's going to be. They'll all. I don't know what color shirts they're wearing yet. I assume they're blue and white.
She comes in colors everywhere. She combs her hair. She's like a rainbow.
A little bumper music to push us along this Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, man, that pushed me over somewhere.
Sorry, it just popped into my head.
And that's dangerous. All right. yes, indeed. Is there anything else you want to add, Kevin? You've been on a roll today.
No.
Here's the question I have for both you guys. Based on what you've seen so far of the Major League Baseball season, which four teams will be in the ALCS and NLCS come September, October?
Oakland, Detroit, St. Louis, and the Dodgers.
I agree on Oakland, the Dodgers. I have not found the fourth yet. I don't know. Well, I'm not sure where the fourth is going to be.
The Nationals are really good. They're ace talent.
Depends. For the Nationals, I think it depends on how the playoffs play out for them, as far as who they match up with early on.
Well, I think getting Bryce Harper back's big. That to me is like a July acquisition that a team looks to get that can improve you, and getting Bryce Harper back is going to improve them, I think, a lot because of a great left-handed bat in the lineup. I mean, you got to hope that Strasburg pitches down the stretch like an ace.
Yeah.
That's a big part of this. But I like the makeup of the Nationals. I think the Braves have a good makeup as well. The odd thing about the Braves is the Uptons aren't hitting, and I don't quite get that. They've hit their entire career, and for whatever reason, the Uptons aren't hitting. And that would be the part, if I'm a Braves fan, that really would concern me.
My fourth would have been Milwaukee, but I'm not sure after the last few games if that's a 52 win freak type season, or if that's a for real 52 wins.
I know I'm a homer for my favorite team, but they've had the best record in the National League since about late May, and so you can't count out the Pirates if they get Lariano back and solve a question mark at first base.
Their problem is they've got to leapfrog how many teams to get there. I mean, they're in fourth place in their own division right now. That's a
true
big issue.
Yes,
a big issue.
No question. And somehow the Milwaukee's just doing real well too.
I mean, Milwaukee got to a great start.
They really
you
did.
You cannot win your division in April and May, but you can lose your division in April and May. And when you look at those teams, they didn't lose it. They put themselves in their pitching. They're number one in all of baseball. They don't kill their bullpen. And they're fifth in whip right now. Really good. They need to improve the offense. That's where Bryce Harper comes in. Because Bryce Harper is a guy I think that can give them more punch in that lineup and improve an offense that's only 20th in runs scored so far this year in all of baseball. I mean, they're 20th, all right?
Yep.
And they need to kick that into a little higher gear. But their pitching has been outstanding at this point, especially their starting pitching has been good. If you put them in a short series, the Nationals become a real threat. And they've just had, you know, guys have been out of this lineup. I mean, Ryan Zimmerman helped. Bryce Harper's only played 29 games this year. He only has one home run. You would think getting him back in there would be huge.
The only thing that Steve's going to laugh about this, but the one thing that concerns me with Milwaukee is they're 24-20 at home. They have won a lot of road games. They just don't play as well at home.
Well, then, dump for a stadium. Maybe they want a new stadium.
I have a retractable dome, Bob.
Don't they have a spiral slide too in the outfield? I mean, that's pretty awesome.
I'm just kidding.
That sucker cost $1 billion.
And look where it got him, a lousy home record.
And they have a big July coming up with 8 straight home games after the All-Star break, and then that could actually leads into another 2-game series then in August. So they have a lot of home games in the next 3 weeks that could cause them issues because they just don't play well at home.
We're counting on it in Pittsburgh, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And I think a big thing too is like how well do their pitchers hit? No,
scratching head here.
I don't know. Do they have any interleague game? I don't know if that they have the Rays coming up at the end of July on the road.
Or like a DH, yeah, that'd be fun.
And that is the last. That's it. That's all they had. They only play the American League once, and that's on the road.
Well, that's because they've already played the American League up to this point. Everybody plays the same amount of interleague games.
No, I was just recognizing the fact that they didn't play any more interleague games after that.
Thank you.
No problem.
You know, if Ryan Howard could hit to the opposite field, Kevin, how good could he be?
The question is, can he hit the opposite field in American League ballparks?
We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. She comes in colors everywhere. She combs her hair. She's like a rainbow. Coming colors in the air. Everywhere. Well, it's been another adventure on the show today. We found out from the master hitting coach himself that hitting major league pitching is very easy.
See the ball? Hit the ball. You hit the ball, you catch the ball, you throw the ball. Was that Bull Durham?
I think so, yeah. But, yeah, we found that out today, yeah. It's easy to do. Now, I mean, I understand your point about the $25 million a year. I mean, he's massively overpaid. No question about that, he's massively overpaid. But,
That's going to be a lot of money, though, if the Phillies do what you were talking about and sit him on the bench. That's a lot of money to be bringing in there.
But you know what? You got to figure out a way to move him somehow because, I mean, you're going nowhere with what you have in your veteran crew right now. You need to reshape your club.
Well, and Ruben Amaro says that it's not going to be drastic because he doesn't want to not have a decent team on the field for the rest of the year. I'm paraphrasing. But my question is, do they have a decent team on the field right now?
I don't think they do.
I don't think so either. So I think at least you want to give your fan base some optimism going into the offseason.
Detroit beat the Dodgers today 4-1. Angels lead Toronto 3-1 top of the fourth. That's in Anaheim. Out of Coors today, Colorado and the Padres 3-3 in the middle of the fifth inning. And Miami and Arizona at Chase Field in Phoenix, otherwise known to some people in our station as Pajonix, scoreless in the top half of the sixth inning.
Steve, you had mentioned AJ Burnett too. The three places that were reportedly going or to go were one of them was Baltimore, the other one was Pittsburgh. I would think, based on what he did in free agency, he wants to stay close to home too.
Well, Baltimore and Pittsburgh are close.
That's
so,
my
I mean,
point.
What the heck?
That's exactly my point.
You know, but you know, I don't know what his no trade is. I mean, does he have a clause in his contract? I mean, I think it's irrelevant. if he doesn't, because he's not a 5-10 guy.
I don't
Well, if he had, hey, he's not a 5-10 guy because he hasn't even been with the Phillies 5 months.
I don't know. That's a good question, though.
By the way, for the Yankee fans, you have loved how Tanaka has pitched all year, right? Guess who's getting an MRI in his pitching arm?
Uh-oh
is right.
Looks like Burnett has a limited no-trade clause.
Yeah, he can't be traded to the Yankees. But Masahiro Tanaka, back to New York. Gave up 5 runs, 10 hits at Cleveland. Third loss, last 4 outings. It's a lot of money they put into him. 7 years, $155 million.